The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, "only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember warred its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow for my books surcease of sorrow, sorrow of the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here for evermore. And the skill and sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entering entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entering entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more." Presently I grew my soul stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore, for the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tap me at my chamber door. This I scarce was sure I heard you. There I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the darkness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore, merely this and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhat louder than before. Surely, said I, surely there is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what threat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind and nothing more. Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obedience made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, perched upon a burst of palace just above my chamber door, perched and sat and nothing more. Then this ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decrotum of the countenance it wore, "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marvelled this ungainly fowl to hear disclose so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast above the sculptured burst above his chamber door, with such name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that word, as if its soul in that one word he did outpour, nothing further than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before, on the morrow he will leave me as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters is only shock in store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs once burden bore, till the dirges of his hope and melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore." But the raven still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and burst the door. Then upon a velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy onto fancy, thinking that what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore, meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaging in guessing, but no syllable expressing, to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining, on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamp light gloated o'er. But those velvet violet lining with the lamp light gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the turfed floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he has sent thee, respite, respite, and nefen from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff this kind nefen, and forget this lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Profit, said I, thing of evil, profit still, if bird or devil, whenever tempest set, or whenever tempest toss thee here ashore. Desolate, yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends upon us, by the gold we both adore, tell the soul with sorrow laden, if within the ancient Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word a sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked upstating. Get thee back into the tempest and the night's plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of lie thee soul half spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken, quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak out of my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon that is dreaming, and the light lamp o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.